हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Right, so now we have in chapter 2 Kurukshetra. So now Krishna's left. Duryodhana tried to insult him. Karna's been met by Kunti and Krishna. And then after Krishna left, then Dhritarashtra then calls a meeting, you know, of his council to discuss about what to do. And Bhishma Dev basically says, what do you mean what to do? You've insulted Krishna. And, you know, Duryodhana is not behaving properly. He won't make any concessions, so you just have war. So what do you mean? All we have to do is discuss, you know, what preparations for war, right? Drona and Kripa agreed with Bhishma, and Duryodhana smiled. The moment he had been waiting for was near. Now there would be no more moralizing and useless talk, right? Because they're all saying all these things that based on Shastra and what you should do and this and that. He's tired of that. He just wants war because he's so convinced that he'll just go in there and just mop up the battlefield, you know, and there'll be nothing left. He'll go back and then he'll enjoy the kingdom and all that. He doesn't realize that because he's not a devotee. He can't realize you offend Krishna, you offend the Vaishnavas. No one's going back. He's absolutely no one. The only one from the Kuru's side that goes back is, I think his name is, might be Dikarna, like that. Or I think Ashwatthama is left. It should have been obvious to everyone from the start that the only way to deal with the Pandavas was on the battlefield, right? Because he wants everything and wants to give up nothing. While everybody else is saying, no, the way to deal is just to make these adjustments and go back to what it was before. War. They had half the kingdom. They had half the kingdom. It was fine, but he has to have everything. So that's the point. So that's the point. Greed will destroy everything because greed means there's so much ignorance and so much passion that you can't function in goodness anymore, and so you will always make a mistake. You will always destroy everything. It's just the way it is. The more greed, the more there'll be destruction. In the beginning, because that greed, you have more enthusiasm, you try harder, you get more things. But the methods you use and that, you don't care how you get it, it will be destroyed. You know, it's just like, what happens to you if you get too greedy at lunch? And you eat, you know, two times, three times what you should. You know, there's going to come, you're enjoying yourself, but it's going to come a point where you can't eat anymore, and then your stomach's going to be so disturbance, you can't sleep, you can't walk, you can't breathe properly, you just have to sit there, and then, you know, it takes so much long time before you can again start to, it's just the way it is. But he can't see it, so his point is, finally everybody else is shutting up and doing the obvious. But actually it's no, everybody else has said the obvious, and since he can't see it, now everybody else has given up. Krishna had shown supernatural power, so what? He was not even going to fight. He forgets he's God, he does control everything. In any of it, there were many heroes on the Kaurava side who were masters of mystical weapons. He was not afraid. Right, so he's like the epitome of a fool. Vidura saw Duryodhana smirk and felt unable to contain himself. He leapt to his feet and glared at the prince. He could not forgive him for insulting Krishna. You must now return Yudhishthira's legitimate share of the kingdom. Yudhishthira has no enemies, and he has been more than forbearing. He is waiting with his younger brothers, among whom is the vengeful Bhima, breathing like a snake. Surely you are afraid of him. Duryodhana looked angrily at his uncle. Vidura continued, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord, has accepted Kunti's son as kinsman. He lives in Dwarka with the Yadu kings and princes, who have conquered unlimited rulers, and he is their lord. Surely you fear him. Vidura turned to the king. O ruler of the earth, by your inaction, you are supporting offense personified, Duryodhana. Okay, so he's speaking to Dhritarashtra. You have supported Duryodhana as your cherished son, but he is envious of Krishna. Because of this, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible by punishing him, and thus do your whole family good. Otherwise, we are all doomed. Duryodhana could take no more. From his childhood, he had seen his uncle favor the Pandavas. It seemed he had no affection for him and his brothers, right? Because affection means they can do whatever they want with no correction, and everybody else is wrong. That's Duryodhana's definition of affection. And if in any way you try to guide him for his good, you're an enemy. What to do? Now he had gone too far, right? He's just saying the same thing as before. Duryodhana leapt up, his body swelling with rage and his lips trembling. Who asked him to come here, the son of a maidservant? The deceitful Katwa is no friend of the Kurus. He is so crooked that he works secretly in the interest of the enemy. Right? They're his cousins. He's made them enemy. Plotting against those who have supported him. Toss him out of the palace and leave him with only his breath. Dhritarashtra was shocked at his son's outburst. He raised a hand to silence him, but Vidura smiled and rose to her feet. Without saying anything, he lifted his bow, which he had never drawn in anger, and walked towards the door. He had been wondering how he would avoid having to fight against the Pandavas. Here was his opportunity, right? So he's not going to go that and discuss and tell him this and that and try to work it. He just take, how am I going to, you know, he doesn't want to, he has no problem fighting. He has a problem fighting with the Pandavas because they're right and this side is wrong. He doesn't want to fight on this side that's wrong. So he just took it. Duryodhana said, throw him out. You know, he should have nothing to do with us. He thought, okay, here it is. Leaning his bow against the door to signify that he would not fight for the Kurus. Like he picked up his bow, but as he goes out, he left it at the door. Means, you know, because also he said, throw him out with nothing but his breath. So that means the bow doesn't go either. He walked out of the hall and headed towards the city's northern gate and the Rishi's ashram. His mind was fixed on holy pilgrimage. The other Kuru elders censured Duryodhana, who merely laughed. Dhritarashtra then ended the assembly. It was time to prepare for war. Yeah, you know, yeah. So it was Krishna's arrangement. When Krishna returned to Virat, Yudhishthira and his brothers greeted him warmly. Krishna then described everything that had transpired in Hastinapur, except for the private discussion with Karna. Krishna knew that if Yudhishthira were informed of Karna's actual identity, he would not fight with him. It had to remain a secret for the time being. The Pandavas were not surprised at the description of Duryodhana's refusal to accept good advice. They were not even surprised to hear how he had repeatedly stormed out of the court like an angry child. Sitting amid the Pandavas and surrounded by other monarchs, Krishna said, I employed every means of diplomacy, from conciliation to the creation of disunion. I told them that you would abandon pride and become Dhritarashtra's servants if the Kurus made peace with you. They could keep the kingdom and give you five villages. Then, when they still refused, I resorted to threats and displayed my superhuman power. I tried to frighten Duryodhana, but he remained fixed in his foolishness. Right? He's not fixed in his courage. He's fixed in foolishness. Right? Because only a fool disregards the power of an enemy. That's one of the main points in Niti Shastra, and also in Dharma Shastra, is that if you have an enemy, you have to admit how powerful he is. Otherwise, if he's powerful, he's he's not powerful. You will be destroyed. You always have to know your enemy and how powerful they are, and respect that. But Duryodhana doesn't respect anybody except himself. And that's it. So he's a fool. So that's the thing. He's thinking he's being courageous and he doesn't fear anyone. He's just a fool. You know, fools don't respect that which they should. He would not offer you any part of the kingdom. Therefore, there's only the fourth means of diplomacy left. You must punish them. That is all they will understand. You will not regain your kingdom without war. O great heroes, already Duryodhana's forces are making their way to Kurukshetra, for they have selected that place for the battle. The kings will all be massacred. They are all within the pale of death. Yudhishthira was grave. He looked around at his brothers and the assembled kings. O heroes, you have heard Krishna's words. All that is left is to prepare our armies for war. The time has come to select a general to command our forces. We have already made 7 warriors leaders of our divisions. Drupad, Virat, Dhrishtadyumna, Shikhandi, Satyaki, Chaitikana, and Bhima. Which of these should take overall command? Sahadev, what is your opinion? Right, so he has all the leaders of the different, they'll each have their groups and all that. So I think they have 7 Akshauhinis. So he's given 1 Akshauhini to 1 person that they'll lead it. And so then, but someone has to command the whole army so that they're all working together. So you always have to have 1 general, right? Yudhishthira looked at his younger brother. As was the custom, he wanted to hear individual opinions, starting with the youngest and ending with the eldest among them. Sahadev replied, because if you start with the eldest and then you go to the youngest afterwards, and you start with the youngest and see if they have a good opinion and the elders approve of it, you can stop there because then their point has been made. But if they've made their point and then you go to the younger, it's not working as well. Sahadev replied, I think we should select Virat. Family ties bind him to us. He is a ruler endowed with prowess and conversant with virtue. The mighty Matsya king is difficult to vanquish in battle, right? Because remember, before the Kurus could never beat him. So that's why they were thinking, now is the chance we can go there. And then, you know, when they're fighting, the Trigartas fight on one side, then they can come on the other. But if he comes with his forces against them, then they've never been able to defeat him. We have long depended upon him and can do so again in the upcoming battle. Yudhishthira turned towards Nakula and said, that one who in maturity, knowledge of scripture, patience, nobility of birth, and respectability is the best of all. Okay, knowledge of scripture, patience, nobility of birth, and respectability is the best of all. He who is ever devoted to truth has learned the science of weapons from Bharadraj, who challenges Drona, and who has performed austerities to bring about his destruction, that monarch who stands surrounded by his sons and grandsons, like a tree with 100 branches, the mighty Drupad should stand at the head of our army. Right, so each one is being glorified, you know, like that, but he's saying that. When it was Arjuna's turn, his voice rang out. He who, by virtue of his austerities and gratification of the Rishis, came out of the blazing fire armed with weapons and adorned with golden armor, he who himself resembled the fire and who then ascended a celestial chariot and went about roaring like a cloud. He who possessed the strength of lions and is capable of slaying a lion because he has the heart, chest, and shoulders of a lion. He who shines like the sun and is beautiful to behold. He who speaks the truth and has controlled his senses. He who is born for Drona's death. Dhrishtadyumna should lead our forces. No one can pierce him with weapons, and he will be able to withstand Bhishma, whose arrows fall like thunderbolts or like Yamaraj's messengers. I do not see another who can stand before Bhishma except Dhrishtadyumna. Therefore, let him be our commander. Right? Because, you know, each is pointing out a special aspect and everything like that. But he's pointing out he's been born for Drona's death, and he's the only one who can stand up against Bhishma, because these are going to be your generals from the other side. Bhima said, we should be led by Sikandi. He was born for Bhishma's destruction, as the Rishis have told us. Because in the beginning, there's a good chance Drona won't fight, because he, being a Brahmin, he's not technically needs to fight. But Duryodhana will act in such a way, he wants everybody to fight for him, no matter if it's proper or not. So then he'll insult him into fighting for him, right? When he stands ready for battle, displaying his celestial missiles, he resembles the great Parasuram. In my view, the man has not been born who can overcome him when he mounts his chariot, clad in mail and lifting his weapons. Only he will be able to slay Bhishma. Having heard from all his brothers, Yudhishthira said, Keshava alone knows the truth and untruth of all things, and their strength, weakness, and other inherent qualities. He whom Krishna, Lord of the Dasarha race, names will be our commander and no other. Krishna is the root of our victory or defeat. On him depend our lives, kingdom, success, happiness, and misery. My dear brothers, Keshava is the Lord and ordainer of all things. Let him speak and let us abide by his decision. It is almost night. When he has named our commander, let us rest. In the morning, after worshipping our weapons and the Brahmins, we will march to Kurukshetra. Krishna said, any of the heroes named are capable of leading our army. All of them are competent and can inspire fear even in Indra. What to speak of Dhritarashtra's sons? Although weak due to their sinfulness, Duryodhana's brothers consider themselves strong. Duryodhana's attitude will soon change when he sees the mood of Arjuna, Bhima, and the twins. When Abhimanyu and Drupad's sons, along with Drupad, Virat, and all the other chiefs come out for battle, Duryodhana and his brothers will repent their folly. I have endeavored to secure peace, and thus we have paid our debt to virtue. We cannot be blamed for what is about to happen. It is time for war, right? So you see, the Kshatriyas, it's very important that if they're establishing justice, they also have to do everything justly. Like you see, it's very much the modern kind of thing where it's material. It's not. It always goes on, but it's just very prominent in Kali Yuga, where someone wants to be authority, but not necessarily follow the rules themselves. The rules are for everybody else, not for them. I make the rules, so they're not for me. You know, but here you see is that it has to go according to Shastra. So yes, the king is above the general thing, but still he has to be following Shastra. So if he's following Shastra, he's not to be blamed. As far as leading our army is concerned, I agree with Dhananjay. Let the mighty Drishtadyumna become the general. When Krishna was finished speaking, the assembled king, so he's pointed out all of them could, and there's a good chance all of them will at some point, like that. So that's always the position, is that as time goes, generals means you're fighting, but generals also get killed because they're fighting with other generals. And also their forces around them. So as it gets less, you have less soldiers, but you also have less generals, you have like that. And so you adjust with what you have. So at the beginning, probably the end of each day, at the night, they'll figure out who's going to command the next day. And then they start, because then first thing in the morning, because if you have to work it out in the morning, you may be late. Or people be disturbed, but at night you do like that, and then everybody adjusts in the morning, and everyone's focused, and that's the way to do. When Krishna was finished speaking, the assembled kings and Kshatriyas shouted their agreement. They were enlivened at the prospect of a fight. None of them hesitated to accept Krishna's choice of a general. Then they all retired for the night. The next day they would march toward Kurukshetra, a journey of 6 or 7 days. So, as it's also a journey of 6 or 7 days, and you also have that aspect of there was a particular time that Krishna had mentioned that it's an auspicious time to start. So then, you know, they want to be there for that and start then. As the sun rose over Virat, the air was filled with a clamor of men and animals. Warriors rushed about in all directions, and shouts of "Yoke up" and "Load the weapons" were heard everywhere. Numerous conches were sounded, firing the men with enthusiasm, and Brahmins chanted auspicious hymns to invoke good fortune for the army. Elephants trumpeted and chariot wheels rattled. Drummers beat drums as the huge army began to trek to Kurukshetra. In front of the army marched Bhima and the twins, clad in shining mail. Behind them came Drishtadyumna, surrounded by Draupadi's sons and Abhimanyu. So because you're going to have the general leading, but he, you know, there'll be others in front just in case, you know, like that. Because he has to be protected, but at the same time, he's leading. And then you'll have, you know, the next group, and then you'll have like this. And then farther back in there will be the king, like that. The soldiers were cheerful, and they shouted in joy. Yudhishthira rode in their midst. Right, so you see the difference is that here is that the soldiers, the warriors, they you know, the prospect of fighting, that's their nature. And so then they're very comfortable with the idea. It's not that, you know, they got drafted and they don't want to be there. These people, they're professional warriors, so they want to be there. And here's an opportunity. If the kingdom's ruled nicely, it'll be very rare that there'll be a war. But, you know, in this case, Duryodhana then gives an opportunity for everybody. So we'll see, continue with how on the march. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.